Good to have everybody here. Amen. Father, I pray that you give me the gift of teaching. Holy One, let me get this out, Lord. We pray this in Jesus' name. We pray, Father, for those who are here this morning. Give them hearts to receive the Word of God and the truth. In thy name we pray. Amen. All right, we're going to continue today now with our study of what it says in the Gospel of John, chapter number 1, when the Scripture says, which were born not of blood. Look over here in John 1 with me, please. John chapter number 1. Verse 13. I told you how the new birth is a constant theme in the book of John. And the new birth, as John presents it, has to do with the absolute change of one's nature from the birth, John chapter number 3, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Then he tells you how this takes place. It takes place by he that hath the Son hath life, he that hath not the Son hath not life. In John chapter number 1, he tells you in verse 13 that this birth is not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. Being not of blood, therefore, it has nothing to do with evolution or your genealogy or your pedigree or anything of that nature. Last week we talked about the Indian caste system, how that you're born into a certain class and that you live, the reason you're born into that class is because of a previous life. If you had a bad previous life and wicked and so forth, your karma determines that you'd be born in your next life, reincarnated in your next life in a lower class, that you have to overcome this karma. You have to live it out. And so therefore, through a process and series of reincarnation, you become at the highest level you could possibly reach, which would be a Brahmin, the priest class. And therefore, the Indian class system is fatalistic. It means that you're born into a system, you're going to live that, you can't do anything to change that system in your lifetime. Now you say, well, what's that got to do with us? It's got a lot to do with you, because it comes right into the public school system in this country, and I'll show you the connection. In the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 23 and verse 20, it says this, and Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, the son of a valiant man of Kabzeel, who had done many acts, he slew 2 lion-like men of Moab. He went down also and slew a lion in the midst of a pit in time of snow. What kind of men are these? Lion-like. That's an unusual thing. You say, well, they just appeared. You know, they may have had a lot of hair on them and so forth. Well, there could be a whole lot more going on here than simply that. It could be that the Bible is trying to tell you that there's something going on that just doesn't meet the norm. In the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 21, verse 20, there was yet a battle in Gath, where was a man of great stature, that had on every hand 6 fingers, and on every foot 6 toes, 24 in number. He also was born to the giant. See that giant that's brought in here? The giant. In 1 Samuel 17, verse number 4, there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span, depending on the length of a cubit, anywhere from 18 to 22 inches. He could have been anywhere from 9 to 12 feet tall, or possibly taller. This is a huge man. This is a giant in every sense of the word. Where did they come from? Well, if you study your Bible, you'll find in the book of Genesis 6 that it said, when the sons of God saw the daughters of men came into them, giants were born. And it also says this in verse number 4 of Genesis 6. There were giants in the earth in those days, and note carefully, and also after that. Those days is a reference to the time before the flood. We call them pre-diluvian or antediluvian, before the deluge, before the flood. And the giants were in the earth then, but the Scripture says in Genesis 6, 4, and also after that. Obviously, whoever is writing Genesis chapter number 6 is writing after the flood. Of course, we know who wrote Genesis anyway. Moses, the Pentateuch. So when he wrote after the flood, he was writing about an event that took place afterward. Giants also afterward, after the flood. Now, Brother Randy Pike sent me some photographs of some archaeological digs that they're doing over there in Europe, and I honestly haven't had chance to get to it to document it and verify it yet. But the skull of these giants is as big almost as a human being. They're huge. And if this is not a, if this is not some kind of a photographic play, you know, joke or what have you, if it's real, then they have found some giants that are 30 feet tall. So it's remarkable. It's unbelievable at what's going on. So I will document that the best I can, find out the sources of this, find out where it comes from, and who's connected with it. But in any event, even if that didn't exist, they have found ample evidence of giants throughout the earth and over a period of time. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter number 3 and verse 11, "For only Og, king of Bashan, remained of the remnant of the giants. Behold, his bedstead was a bedstead of iron." Iron is connected with the wicked. Iron is connected with supernatural forces in the Old Testament. "His bedstead was a bedstead of iron. Is it not in Rabbath of the children of Ammon? 9 cubits was the length thereof, and 4 cubits the breadth of it, after the cubit of a man." All right? 9 cubits long. All right, now how tall was Goliath of Gath? The scripture says, how tall was he? He was 6 cubits tall. So unless this giant had a bed that was a lot larger than he was, you're looking at a man about 8 cubits tall, probably. And you're looking at some there. Here's somebody 15, 16 feet tall, possibly more. Big man. And if you saw someone that large today, it would absolutely blow your mind. But they have walked this earth. There's no question about that. They have. So the scripture, and this is just a few scriptures that I'm giving you, that have to do with the fact that this earth has at one time entertained the presence of beings that are altogether different than you are. Now, when you go back in antiquity, in classical history, and begin to study, you'll find out that the classics have all kinds of gods. And these gods are very similar to human beings. Fact of the matter is they have all kinds of human characteristics. And especially the gods of the Greeks. All right. These gods, I believe, is a reference in pagan history to the giants of the scripture. These were superhuman men. They were not natural men like us. They were superhuman. They were different. And they came because, and this is very important, because this is going to connect you with what's going on right now. These giants showed up because of an intervention of angels into the earth. They came down to the earth, saw the daughters of men, cohabited with them, and giants were born from that union. The Hebrew word that refers to these giants are Naphal or Nephilim. And it's the Hebrew verb which means to fall. They're fallen ones. And so therefore the term Nephilim shows up. If you want to do a Google search, just type Nephilim into your computer, and you'll be amazed at all of the stuff that's pulled up. Now, man has his source of wisdom, and the Bible is my source of wisdom. As I've said to you before, the Bible, the Word of God, this book right here, the reason I entered into this study is because that the school system right here in Knoxville, Tennessee, along with the rest of them in this country, teach. They're teaching now. They're actively teaching that that's a myth. Okay. So it's no longer a neutral position. You know, you've got your religion, he's got his religion, so forth and so on. They are actively teaching that the Bible is a myth. So you have the source of wisdom of Scripture. Then you have the source of what we call secular history or profane history. It's an amazing thing at how many things the Bible records that shows up in secular history just in a different way. Now, evolution is a big deal with people who believe it. Because evolution has to do not only with biological evolution. In other words, the transformation of the species over a long period of time from a simpler form to a more complex form. But it also has to do with social evolution. And that is in the sense that here we are in 2010, we should absolutely be learning how to live together in peace more than they did 100 years ago and so forth. And so social evolution is applied in the colleges and universities of the country, in their teaching and in their teaching methods, along with biological evolution. Now, what they do for the people is that when they teach this evolution to you, when they teach evolution to the kids in school, they teach it on a very low level. And what I mean by that is they teach it on the sense that, well, these species or these living things evolved over a long period of time, and we can observe this evolution, this evolutionary process, and here we are today as a product of all these millions of years of evolution. And essentially, they leave it at that with the biological aspect of evolution. They don't really get into what people who really believe this stuff really believe. They don't get into the race, into the business of race, and into the business of how's the best way to put this? The ruling of the world today. A lot of people today believe that things just happen, and they just happen. I believe in a conspiracy. I believe, according to the book of Psalms, that the kings of this world have conspired against the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that if the truth is revealed in the Bible as an absolute truth, they will do everything they can to destroy it or to make it of null effect. And I believe that. I believe it. I believe that there is an active intelligence involved in this, and that active intelligence is the devil. And I believe that every man, I don't care who he is, I believe that every man that's involved in it is seeking exactly what Satan said in the book of Job. Skin for skin, all that a man hath will he give for his skin. That's true 99.9% of the time. But that's not an absolute truth, because God didn't say it. The devil said it. There are those who will give their life for the Lord Jesus Christ. That's an absolute truth. You see what I mean? You've got to compare what I'm talking about here, because it's very important. About 125 years ago, eugenics was a very popular doctrine in colleges, universities, and therefore extended into governments. Eugenics is the idea that you can breed people and breed out characteristics that you don't like, and that you can breed people, and that you can produce a much better man. It's all based on evolution, because the idea of evolution is that over a long period of time, all these different races have evolved. But now, what you're not told is their attitude toward races, the different races of mankind. Now, you've got to be thick-skinned to hear what I'm going to read to you. But I'm in here this morning to give you the truth. All right? If you know the truth will make you free. All right. As I told you before, the Word of God, when it comes to the salvation of an individual, God does not save white men, black men, yellow men, and red men. He saves sinners. And all men are sinners. And once they are in Christ, the Word of God says that He has made of twain one new man. The only distinction that He makes, therefore, in Christ is this, that a Jew and a Gentile become one in the Lord Jesus Christ. Not a black man and a red man, or a yellow man and a white man. That racial distinction has no distinction. That's not there. Now, how many followed me so far? So therefore, when it comes to salvation, He tasted death for every man. He tasted death for the red man, the yellow man, the black man, the white man. And He saves sinners. He doesn't save a black man one way, a yellow man one way, a red man one way, and a white man one way. So in the Word of God, for the time period, the time when Plato was talking about Atlantis, about 300-400 years BC, which a lot of this stuff today is based upon, before that, long before that, the Word of God was making it very clear that God saves sinners. And the scripture in the book of Acts, when the Apostle Paul went to Athens, Greece, and he met with the Epicureans, the Stoics, and all of the philosophers of the day. These were the disciples of Plato, Aristotle, Socrates, and all the rest of them. Okay, the highest learning of man's wisdom. That's when I say that, that's what that means. That's the pinnacle. So he met with these people. And you know what he said to them? He said, God hath made of all men one what? One blood. All right? It's the blood issue, because the blood issue is the salvation issue. All right. Now, Theosophy, which showed up about 125 years ago, Helen Blavatsky and Henry Steele Alcott, two of the disciples and preachers for Theosophy, they based their religion on the Hindu doctrine of a caste system, which is in itself is based on evolution, because reincarnation and evolution are essentially in the same bed together. Now, this system believed in a root race theory, and that root race meant that there were, from the origins of evolution, certain races that developed, and that the Aryan race is the race, the fifth race, and which is the greatest race of all the races so far, which is the race that was that's prevalent today, and that every other race that is not akin to the Aryan race is degenerate in some form, is missing in some form, is subhuman, even to the point of calling them subhuman. So therefore, the Aryan race is it. That's it. That's it. You've evolved, evolution, you've evolved to the greatest point of mankind, the Aryan race. Now, that's exactly what Hitler took. He wasn't original with it. He took the doctrine of the Aryan race, applied it to the Germanic people, and he was going to purge the world of some of its problems. Now, here's what the Theosophist said. She said, she used this root race as a technical term to describe human evolution over the large time periods in her cosmology. However, she also claimed there were modern non-Aryan peoples who were inferior to Aryans. All right, we're getting into the business of a race being inferior to the Aryan. She regularly contrasts Aryan with Semitic culture. Now, what's that? That's Jewish. Now, listen carefully. To the detriment of the latter, to the detriment of the Jew, asserting that Semitic peoples are an offshoot of Aryans who have become degenerate in spirituality and perfected in materiality. Okay? She states some peoples are semi-animal creatures. These latter include the Tasmanian, portion of Australians, mountain tribe in China. She said there are also considerable numbers of mixed Lemuro-Atlantean peoples produced by various crossings with such semi-human stocks, the wild men of Borneo, the Vedhas of Ceylon, so forth and so on. The Australian Bushmen, the Negritos, the Andaman Islanders, and on 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 it goes. Now, once again, you might say to yourself, well, what's that got to do with us today? It's got a lot to do with you today. Just hold on, because I'm going to pull this down to where you are right now. I'm going to pull this down to where you're sitting right now. Right now. So, as far as Helen Blavatsky was concerned, the Jew is an Aryan, but he's a perversion of an Aryan. So that makes him a cast-off creature. That makes him a kind of creature that needs to be gotten rid of. And this is the very stuff that Adolf Hitler got a hold of. And when he set about to do away with the Jew, he was doing away with a parasite. As far as Hitler was concerned, the Jew was subhuman. He had degenerated into money. Now, you ought to see all the propaganda films that they played in Germany back in the 30s and 40s about the Jews of Europe taking all the money. And do the Jews have a lot of money? This bailout they just had a year and a half ago. Who got bailed out? Who was too big to fail? You ever heard of a group called Goldman Sachs? Huge international banking conglomerates that control the flow of money. You realize that? You realize that our unemployment rate right now is continuing to rise? that they're talking about, a double dip recession. And yet there are those groups that will not be allowed to fail, because if they fail, like a domino effect, everything else will fail. So they have to keep them propped up. These people that they gave billions of dollars to in stimulus money turned around and paid out millions of dollars in bonuses to the people who worked for them. That made a lot of people mad. I hope they're still mad, because voting is in November. But in any event, Semitic cultures, okay? Now, we've got a culture picked out here that is that they're demonizing. They're demonizing this culture. They're demonizing the Jew. Now, how many's ever heard of the Illuminati? All right. Everybody's heard of Adam Weishaupt, Illuminati, back in the 1700s and all that. Well, it didn't start with the Illuminati. None of this stuff is new. But what these people do is they take this stuff and they accommodate it. They pull out elements of it to suit themselves and use it. How many of you believe that there is an elitist group in this country who really believes that they know better than you do how to live your lives? They're going to run you. They're going to tell you when to get up and when to go to bed. They're going to tell you what to eat. They're going to tell you when you can drive, when you can't drive, where you can drive. Did you know that Jimmy Duncan, I saw this yesterday in the news, that Jimmy Duncan, how many know who I'm talking about? A representative in this area right here, did you know that he is going to start some kind of a, I don't know what it is, I don't know if he's going to introduce legislation or whatever, up there in the federal government? And here's what he said. He said that these red light cameras are all about money. Isn't it refreshing to hear a politician say something like that? How many of you know that? How many of you knew that already? Several, more than once, huh? That the studies and surveys that have been done, not too many probably, but the surveys and studies that have been done, red light cameras cause more wrecks than they stop. So it's not about your safety. It's about the bottom line. The love of is the root of all evil. The Illuminati, here's the definition, is a secret Luciferian organization founded on the principles of abolished religion, elimination of natural borders, abolition of private property, civil rights, and the establishment of a one elite ruling class over the entire world, also known as the New World Order. The Illuminati intend to rule the world and thus achieve the illumined state of mind, like a kingdom of God on earth with us, the rest of mankind, to be their sheep. How many of you can see evolution in that? How many of you can see a caste system in that? How many of you can see that there is a certain group of people who believe that they are superior to you? Now listen, there is the stuff that is spoon-fed to people. It's spoon-fed to the individual. All the major medias, all the media, spoon-feed you and brainwash you day in and day out. And what they give you is for public consumption. But there is also that element of what's really happening, and it's happening on a much higher scale than what you're being spoon-fed. And it's happening with those who communicate among themselves with code words, with meetings like they just had with the Bilderbergers, and stuff like that, who are really pulling the strings and calling the shots, and you don't really know what's going on. All you know is what's spoon-fed to you for the mass media. I personally believe that what they are spoon-feeding the mass media about race, about racial issues, and about what you get it day in and day out, is for your consumption. They don't believe it for a minute. I believe that they believe what they believed back in the 1800s and early 1900s, that they are an advanced elite group, far superior to you, and they're going to call the shots. And they believe that you are so stupid that when they pass their legislation and implement their laws and do their multinational events, that you won't be able to find out what they're doing, because they're going to spoon feed you what they want you to know. But what's going on is on a much higher level than that. How many believe that? No, crazy as I am then. Amen. How many of you believe the government? How many of you believe to render to Caesar that which is Caesar's and to God that which is God's? That's what I believe. And there's a line Caesar does not cross. It's God's. All right? So the Illuminati. That's one that's a simple definition of it. Now, here's one of the ways they're going to implement some of this. They're going to dramatically reduce the population of the world. The world simply has too many peoples in it, too many people, and it cannot be sustained. How many of you have ever heard the word of sustainable development? Sustaining. How's the world going to be able to feed 20 billion people in 100 years from now? How's it going to do it when they're starving to death now? Especially if you are an evolutionist that believes that you're part of the higher order of mankind. These serfs, or whatever you want to call them, you know, they have to be spoon-fed. The human weeds, as Margaret Sanger called them, human weeds. You know, we have to get rid of this so that those who deserve the earth can live in it in peace and prosperity and all that. So the way to do that is to control the population. Now, if you're going to control the population, one good way to control population, and you can control it real fast, I guarantee you, you can flat control the population real quick. You can take a number of people out. What would that be? War. Wars will take the population down quickly. But the thing about a war is, and if you've never noticed this, wars take out the courageous, the brave. That takes out the best, the cream of the crop. It takes out the men and the women who will go into the fire. That's who gets killed out. The draft dodgers, the shirkers, and all the rest of that crowd, you know, they never make it. They've got a way of getting out. Did you know that in one of the things that caused them up there in New York, the biggest riot that's ever been on this North American continent, do you know when it took place? It took place during the war between the states in New York City. It lasted for 3 days, and it was all about conscripting men to go to war. But here's what made them so mad. If you had $300, you could pay somebody to go in your place. So the bottom line is that if you had money, you didn't have to go fight. It was the poor fellow out there in the field, you know, behind the plow, didn't have any money. He had to go fight. That was the biggest riot that the North American continent has ever had. I remember when they bombed the World Trade Towers up there in 2001, that they had a talk show, and one person called in and says, well, you know, said we don't want to send our brightest, our best, our college students to war. I mean, you know, we need to keep them over here. Send these old boys out here that don't know what they're here for. Send them out there and let them get killed. War will do it. They need to dramatically reduce the population of the world. They need to promote environmentalism, establish a world government, and promote a new spirituality. Now, these are four basic things, but these are powerful things. Let me read them again. They need to dramatically reduce the population of the world. They need to promote environmentalism. They need to establish a world government. And they need to promote a new spirituality. Has anything been happening in America that destroys the true faith of Jesus Christ? Has it been going on in the world? Most of the churches in Europe now have been turned into bingo parlors. No more than, I think it's 5% of the people in Great Britain go to church. America is the last holdout on this earth with Christians. We've still got a lot of Christians in this country, a lot of real believers. But with a public school system actively teaching your kids when you send them there that the Bible is a myth, what do you think that's going to do to their faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Especially since the Lord Jesus Christ quoted the Bible, and he quoted the Bible as if he believed it. See what I mean? One of two possibilities. He either quoted it to appease the bunch around him, or he was ignorant himself and didn't know the difference, or he believed it. I believe he believed it. All right. Environmentalism. Promote environmentalism. These are some of the elements they're going to use to bring about a one world government. Is there anything happening right now in this country that would qualify as an environmental catastrophe? All kinds of wild theories are on the web about what happened in the Gulf of Mexico. I don't know what happened in the Gulf of Mexico. I don't know what happened. But one wild theory is that North Korea sent a submarine into the Gulf of Mexico and shot a torpedo and bombed that thing, because that thing was made by South Korea. That platform out there that they're drilling from was made by South Korea. And that the North Koreans did this to force America to its knees and bring it to some kind of a negotiating table to get what it wants. I don't know that that's true. Another is that it is used as a pretext to go to war with Iran. I don't know if that's true. Another is that it's the saboteur who went in there and did this because they know what's going to come out of it is this environmental extremism. In plain words, somebody who's just a nut, a left-wing nut, went in there and did that. Another is that it could have accidentally happened. They were warned before they ever dug over the top of that thing out there in the Gulf of Mexico. They were warned by geologists and scientists that they were about to drill in to an enormous amount of gas. That gas is underneath there. This is a fact. There is a million times more gas right now in the Gulf of Mexico in the water than there was before that explosion. The oil is not the thing, apparently, that the scientists are telling people to be afraid of. They're telling people that that gas that's coming up could get together and form an explosion. And if that explosion does take place, that it's going to create a catastrophe that's mind-boggling. Because first thing it would do is create a tsunami that would wipe. They say that Florida, the state of Florida, on average is only 6 inches above sea level. Man, that's remarkable. 6 inches. What does it take to flood Florida? I'm saying average. So if you did have a tsunami that did come in, then you'd immediately have some kind of a catastrophe. You'd have an evacuation. You'd have martial law imposed upon the people. And, I mean, you have to do something. The government is sitting right now on this information. They know this. They've been told this. And this is not wild left-wing stuff, wild crazy stuff. If you just get in there on Google, type in natural gas, methane gas, other forms of poison in the Gulf of Mexico, and you'll have hits all over the place because it's everywhere. And the scientists are telling them now that this is a real possibility. It could also explode on the floor of the Gulf of Mexico. It could bring more up. If it did that, it could make the oil coming up much worse than it is now. So it is an environmental catastrophe. And I'm not sure yet, and I don't know what all you may have heard, I'm not sure yet what they're going to do. They're trying to drill these wells, supposed to have them done in August, where they can go in from the side and apparently shut this thing off, but they're still not guaranteeing that that's going to work. So it's a mess. It's a mess. And it's a situation that did not happen overnight. This country right now is on the verge of being plunged into the very thing that the elitists have been planning for centuries. We're right on the very verge of it. Here's what the Illuminatists have said about population control. And this came from Cornell University. This was published 1999, September the 22nd. Cornell. Here's what they said. 100 years from now, democratically determined population control practices and sound resource management policies could have the planet's 2 billion people thriving in harmony with the environment. Now, did you catch that? Okay. There's more than that now, see. We've got about 5, 6 billion now. All right. We're talking 100 years from now, 2 billion people. It's obvious that they're talking about something that's going to have to change. Okay. Lacking these approaches, a new Cornell University study suggests 12 billion miserable humans will suffer a difficult life on Earth by the year 2100. 12 billion. So how do you get rid of them? How many has heard of Agenda 21? Sustainable development from Agenda 21. Most folks haven't. But all of these environmental laws and regulations that are coming into this nation are coming off of Agenda 21. They're coming through the UN. It's taking the sovereignty away from the United States of America. Now, if it only had to do with, you can't plant this, this grows here, we're going to make this into a park, this and that, that's bad enough. But it has more than that. It has to do with who lives here, who lives there, who buys this, who sells this. In plain words, it has to do with human beings. it gets into the matter of who lives and who dies. It's already been put in motion. It's already at work. Let me find this here. Here it is. If you'll Google Obamacare, how many's ever heard of Obamacare? All right. Remember now, elections are in November. Obamacare. If you'll Google Obamacare and then put euthanasia next to it, you'd be amazed what comes up. You Google Obamacare and put abortion next to it, you'd be amazed what comes up. Google Obamacare and put selective treatment, medical rationing next to it. See what comes up. Google Obamacare and put next to it redistribution of wealth. See what comes up. This is only four. And this is directly connected with UN Agenda 21. So the bottom line is that even though you're not being told this, this nation is already implementing what's necessary to control the population, to control what's taught to the children, through either environmental catastrophes or whatever they want to use, to bring about a one world government. They believe that they, as the elite, have evolved into the station they're in. And they'll never tell you this, but that's what they believe. And that they have a right to dictate to you when to get up, when to go to bed, what to eat, where to live, where to go, when to go, and dictate every aspect of your life. Now, there's not one of them. I probably don't believe that what they're doing is under the direct hand of Satan. But if you're a Bible believer, if you believe the Bible, you know that the kind of things that are being implemented right now are the things that can be used in the tribulation period by the Antichrist to control every movement of your life. And they're going to do it. These red light cameras, just one of them. Just one of them. Now, how many of you folks have ever seen anybody talk on a cell phone while they're driving their car? Have you noticed? Have you noticed how many cars are running into buildings today? One ran into a building up in Seymour yesterday. I grew up in this town. I can only remember one car through all my youth that ever ran into a building. That was just so rare, that was unheard of. You never heard of that. That never happened. But if you're driving a car and you're giving it this, you know, you're texting or maybe sexting and you're on the phone, you know, you're losing. I went around the curb the other day and here comes this boy on my side of the road. I'd already chosen a place to go to. You have to make a split second decision. You got to make it. You don't have time to fool around. You can't fool with him. You see somebody coming at you head on, you find you a place to go to right then. And I'd already chosen my place and I was starting to head off the side of the road and he caught himself and saw me. And he turned back into his lane and threw his hand up and waved. It's not funny. It's not funny. Oh, here's the bottom line, though. This is the simple thing about it. A cell phone is a radio. You're communicating with radio waves. And that's how you communicate with a radio. It's a radio transmitter. That's all it is. You communicate with a cell tower that connects to the phone system, but you're communicating with a radio wave. If they wanted you to be safe, if they wanted you to be safe, they could put a chip in your car that when you fire that car up and you take off down the road, they could call it jamming or whatever they want to. You couldn't use your cell phone. You couldn't talk. See, it wouldn't hurt your cell phone, but you couldn't talk. So while you're driving your car, you couldn't talk. Now, they could put a chip in there that would allow you to receive a signal, some kind of a signal. If you got an emergency call, you'd know it. You could pull off the side of the road, turn your engine off, and you could talk. And you could receive an emergency call. That's no big deal. Do you really think they're interested in your safety? Seriously, when they tell you to buckle up your... That's a joke. I laugh at them. You know, don't insult your intelligence. As long as they allow you to drive up and down the road, dialing a cell phone and taking your eyes off of the road and continuing to kill people, they're not interested in your safety. But now here's the bottom line. Why is it that they won't do that? Could it be because that there's a lobby? That the people who there's a big lobby. Or could it be because of that cell phone, they want you to have a cell phone? And they can put a chip in that cell phone. Now, how many people in here have cell phone? How many don't? That's the easiest way. One or two, three, not many. Four, five, all right. In other words, 98% do. You have a cell phone. You got a radio. It sends out a radio signal. They already can trace you. They can track you. And if you've got a cell phone in your pocket, once they put that chip in there, they're going to know a whole lot about you. And so what it is, it has to do with tracking and control. That's what it's about. It's about metering who you are, where you are, and what you're doing. It has nothing to do with safety. Now, down in Brazil, some of these South American countries, Brazil, I think, was one of the first ones to do it. They outlawed cell. They hadn't had them 6 months, I don't reckon. They outlawed them in a car. And, I mean, they absolutely pull you over and fine you and lock you up and take you away. I guess because, I don't know, you know, maybe they were having a lot of wrecks. But the cell phones were turned off. So, be awful careful. Be on the lookout. There's a reason behind something that doesn't make any sense. And somebody's making money. Yeah, they are. They're controlling you. They're brainwashing you. They're preparing you. They're getting you ready to receive a mark and their control. And it's already here. It's not coming. It's here now. It's here now. And if you're a born-again believer, you're going to lay all that stuff aside and you're going to be gone. You're going to be gone. But these elitists really believe that they are a product of evolution and that they are the master race and they are the masters of your destiny. And what it's come down to now here in right before the coming of the Lord is a handful of people who meet in secret and they determine in secret what kind of life you're going to live, what you can buy and sell, and where you can go. That's already happening. All we're waiting for now is for the one to step out on the stage of time. To step out and he's presented as their man. And once he's presented as their man, you've got your Antichrist. And everything else will already, it'll already be implemented. And as far as I know, I don't know of another thing that needs to be done. It's all here. It's all here right now for the man of sin. So isn't it amazing how the Bible, when it says that they were born not of blood, not of blood, not of blood, how it's so different from everybody else's religion? Isn't it amazing how the New Testament doesn't hold the Jew up to you as anything special or great, especially when it comes to salvation, that Christ tasted death for every man? If this was a Jewish book written about Jews for Jews to elevate Jews above other men, it would have never said that. That's not what it's about. It's about the truth. And the truth will make you free. Let's have a word of prayer and we'll let you go. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray now you bless the service to follow. Anoint my dear brother. God bless him. Give him strength this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.